exactly are Tottenham?
I think Thomas Frank is a very good manager, but he hasn't quite got the material to make any judgments on.
Is Will still in a bit of bother?
They should be significantly higher in the division than they are. If you look at the expected points, they're 8 below that. That's ridiculous after 11 games. They simply don't take their chances.
And did Brian Clough play woke ball?
There's only one way to play football. That's on grass, not up in the sky.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh. This is Football Fast No Faff. This is Route 1. Tottenham picked up a useful point in Monaco last night, keeps them well on track for qualification, but it doesn't really tell the whole story. Monaco dominated the game and were denied by a heroic performance from the often unfairly maligned Vicario. 23 shots, 8 on target, 5 of what FotMob call big chances, and it still ended 0-0. It leaves me still wondering why exactly Tottenham are under new manager Thomas Frank. They're certainly doing better than last season. They're sixth in the Premier League with 4 wins under their belt already. But we have mentioned a few times on here that they are dramatically outperforming their numbers. They've scored nearly twice as many goals as the Boffins say they should have done. Danny Kelly is the host of View from the Lane, the Athletic's excellent Tottenham podcast. Danny, how are you feeling about the new regime?
I think it's really hard to judge where Tottenham are right now. Thomas Frank is now aware of the size of the job that he's got on. But if you think about it, this was a team that finished 17th in the league last season. From that team has been stripped because of injury or departure Son, Maddison, Kulusevski and Solanke, who between them got almost 50 goals last season. And there's the problem. The backup players are raw and new, or in some cases you might argue, not good enough. Certainly not good enough to play the way Thomas Frank wants to do, which is to defend and then play on the break. Can't do that at the moment because the breaks are not effective enough. But it's also reflective of a separate problem, if you want to call it a problem, that all the best players in Tottenham squad currently are defenders. Jed Spence, Porro, Udogi, and of course Romero and Van de Ven. They've got a big rebuild to do. It'll take a little while, and Spurs, I think, will just have to be a little bit patient. I think Thomas Frank is a very good manager, but he hasn't quite got the material either at the club or available to him at the moment to make any judgments on. Having said that, they were pretty turgid in the Champions League, weren't they?
There were a few other games too last night, not least Liverpool. And what did we tell you about Eintracht Frankfurt games? It ended 5-1 to Liverpool, a cathartic return to form for Arne Slot's men. But we figured everyone else would have talked that one through by now, so we went with Spurs. We could also have gone with Chelsea, who beat Ajax 5-1. The Dutch side were reduced to 10 men after 17 minutes in that one. Bayern Munich made short work of Club Bruges. They beat them 4-0, and yes, Harry Kane scored. That's 20 goals in 12 games for him now. Jude Bellingham has just the one, but it was a pretty important one, and it earned Real Madrid victory over Juventus. Sporting came back from 1-0 down to beat barking mad Marseille 2-1. Two Victor Osimhen goals helped Galatasaray to a 3-1 win over Bodo/Glimt. Athletic Klub came from a goal down to beat Karabag 3-1. And Atalanta drew 0-0 with Slavia Prague. What does that all mean, though? Well, it means, as the halfway stage approaches, the moneyed European elite lead the way. Paris Saint-Germain, Bayern Munich, Internazionale, Arsenal and Real Madrid all have maximum points. And at the other end of the table, we find the fallen houses of Europe. Ajax and Benfica, 6 European Cups between them, remember. They are bottom and second bottom with 0 points. That tells a story, doesn't it? On Tuesday night, Southampton went to Bristol City and lost 3-1, the latest disappointing result in a season that just hasn't caught light. Southampton are currently 17th in the table, which is absolutely not where anyone expected them to be. And yet, when you look at the numbers, Southampton are second in the Championship for XG, but only 12th for goals scored. They've actually only lost the same number of games as third place Millwall, and as it is Football Manager Day today, it would be remiss not to mention their recent 0-0 draw with Swansea, in which they racked up 3.2 of XG to Swansea's 0.2 and still only picked up a point. They got FM'd. George Rees-Julian is the Southampton correspondent for the Daily Echo. George, is it really as bad as it looks? And will Will still be the manager by the weekend?
I do think it is starting to get a little bit worrying for Will still, not because I think he's not doing a good job. As you've rightly pointed out, they should be significantly higher in the division than they are. If you look at the expected points, they're 8 below that. That's ridiculous after 11 games. They simply don't take their chances. Against Swansea, they could have scored 6. Against Bristol City, they should have scored at least 2 before Bristol City turned the game around completely in the second half. I do feel a bit bad for him. He says he hasn't been let down in terms of signing a striker. They went and got Damian Downs, who scored 10 goals in the second Bundesliga last season. And since he's come in, he does not look up to scratch in English football. He's still 21. He's still learning his craft. He's still adjusting to playing in a different league. But I found it very interesting that Gerhard Struber, the Bristol City manager who managed Damian Downs at FC Köln last season before getting sacked 2 games before the end of that season, said that there's a massive jump from the second Bundesliga to the Championship. It's a totally different physical level. It's much quicker. And that's the striker that Southampton have gone and bought to sort of hinge their season on. They've lost Ross Stewart, who's perennially injured. They knew or should have known they can't rely on him. And they've also got Cameron Archer, who scored goals in the Championship before. And he just hasn't looked like a player who can do that since he signed for Southampton for £15 million. So as much as Will Still can set up a team that create barrels of chances, he hasn't got someone other than Adam Armstrong, really, who's capable of putting the ball in the back of the net every other week. And when you're in that situation as a team like Southampton, everyone's going to come and you've got a target on your back. They're going to try and beat you because you've come down from the Premier League. Well, you've lost half the battle already. You need someone who can put the ball in the back of the net. And that's unfortunately for Will Still what he hasn't got.
Elsewhere in the Championship, QPR's impressive season continues. They beat Swansea 1-0 and move into 8th. Xavi Grazia, Watford's current manager, picked up his first win. They beat West Bromwich Albion 2-1. Just 2 wins and 8 for Ryan Mason's Baggies after such an impressive start. Wrexham won their first home game of the season against producer size apparently doomed Oxford United. Bill Parkinson's men now move to 15th. And finally, handsome Rob Edwards' Middlesbrough closed the gap on Coventry at the top to a single point. They beat Sheffield Wednesday 1-0 at a mostly empty Hillsborough. And good luck to everyone there fighting the good fight. Yes, it's Football Manager Day, and for the first time in 2 years, no less, because there was no FM25. Now, by the time you hear this, the beta version will either have dropped or it'll be very, very close to dropping. That's the not quite complete version that goes out to people who pre-order the game. But you know what video games are like these days. They're never really completely finished. The patches and tweaks will keep coming for months now. We've been able to have a little play with it already, and you can read all about it in a great big article on our website, trackrecordmedia.com. There's a link in the episode description. So what's it like? Well, it looks great. The move to a new graphics engine is a real leap forward, and I say that as someone who kind of secretly prefers a 2D classic mode, but it does look absolutely gorgeous. The matches itself, they seem to play very well too. It's always hard to tell how good the game is until you've put about 3 months into it, but I didn't see any glaring holes in the match engine like, you know, that time in 2013 where it felt like any deep cross could float over your goalkeeper's head. All the players act and react as you kind of think they should do, and that's obviously huge after such a big rebuild. Do I have any reservations? I do. I found the whole interface, the UI as I believe they say, very treacly. Now, that might be because it's new and I'm old, but there was an overwhelming amount of information and it wasn't always where you felt it should be. Familiarity may come with time and all of those patches, but it wasn't always a comfortable experience navigating my way around it. Check out that full review of our experiences on Track Record Media. You'll also find some other great stuff like James Young's experiences in Welsh music festivals and Danny Kelly on the hilariously hysterical nature of football discourse. There is so much football on television tonight. If you want the full rundown, it's probably best if we just direct you to the excellent website Live Football on TV. Pick of the games is probably Sean Dyche's Nottingham Forest. That still doesn't sound right. Against Porto in the Europa League. And did you hear him in his press conference rattling through Brian Clough's latter Forest lineup, but in progressive football terminology?
People keep telling me about this modern way of playing, and I was describing this just the other day to someone, so...
There's only one way to play football. That's on grass. Not up in the sky, it's pouring down at the moment.
The goalkeeper, two centre-half split, the full-back split as wide as they can. If the goal can play out, he's encouraged to play out as quick as possible. Neil Webb comes deep to get the ball and he rotates. It's like now they call it a pivot. Steve Hodges stretching the pitch. Brian Rice comes inside as an inside winger. Franz Carr stretches the pitch. Nigel Clough comes off the front in the false nine. And then Peter Davenport stretch the pitch. Or Lee Chapman goes the hold-up play higher up the pitch.
You play to feet and you give a colleague the ball.
So that sounds pretty modern to me.
His utter woke nonsense shtick usually leaves me pretty cold, but fair play, that was very well delivered. Crystal Palace play Larnaca in the Conference League. Aston Villa play the fabulous go-ahead Eagles. Danny Rowell makes his Rangers debut away at Bran. Aberdeen are away at Athens. All of these are on TNT Sports, by the way. Let's be honest, you'll be listening to the radio commentary at best because you'll be sinking into your first FM26 save. I see you, I know what you are. That was Route 1, it's Football Fast, no faff, and it's here every day at about 3 p.m. If you like it, give it a follow, and if you really like it, give it a review. I've been Ian McIntosh, your producer was Cy Watts. We'll be back tomorrow.